40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Prosecutors in New York say that former President Trump conspired to undermine the 2016 election with a series of payments in order to keep under wraps claims that could be harmful to his candidacy. The 34-count felony indictment includes falsifying business records in the first degree related to hush money payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime.
Trump's lawyer, Joe Tacopina, says there aren't any facts in the indictment.
A state prosecutor is prosecuting a federal election law violation that doesn't exist according to federal election law officials.
CBS's Scott McFarland was at the courthouse today.
The former president of the United States now has an official case number in the criminal court system. He is case number 71543-23, according to the Manhattan court system. That's his indictment number.
Trump is expected to speak shortly at Mar-a-Lago. After losing a 2018 defamation case over a tweet former President Trump posted about her, adult film star Stormy Daniels has been ordered to pay Trump $121,000 in legal fees. Strong storms, possibly including tornadoes, can impact tens of millions of Americans between tonight and tomorrow. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
As the storms continue overnight, they continue right into Wednesday, and so we have a threat of severe weather for more than 25 million people that I'm most concerned about. That includes Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Cleveland. All of those happening during the day Wednesday. The potential there again for severe long track tornadoes, the potential for violent tornadoes as well.
Wisconsin voters are choosing their next Supreme Court justice. The candidates are conservative former Justice Daniel Kelly and liberal judge Janet Protasiewicz. University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato says this is a key election.
People outside Wisconsin may not think this is important, but it is. First of all, Wisconsin is one of the four or five states that will probably be deciding presidential elections for some time to come. It's that close. It's on the razor's edge between Democrats and Republicans.
President Biden won't attend the coronation of King Charles III, CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports.
White House officials telling CBS News the president phoned the king today to say that instead First Lady Jill Biden will lead the U.S. delegation to that coronation,
which takes place on May 6th. Virgin Orbit seeks bankruptcy protection after a mission fail and difficulty raising money for future operations. On Wall Street, stocks closed down. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com. WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The most expensive state Supreme Court campaign in American history ends today as voters choose between conservative Dan Kelly and liberal Janet Protasiewicz. The vote will decide if the court leans left or right for the next 2 years. That matters because the High Court is expected to rule on abortion and voting rules in the near future. Civic Media's coverage of election returns begins tonight at 8. The Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee continues its work without hearing from the head of the Department of Public Instruction. Jill Underley says she's surprised by the snub. Governor Evers is proposing the largest spending increase on education in Wisconsin history at more than $2.5 billion. In sports, the Brewers host the Mets tonight. The Bucks are at Washington. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
At Chad's Design Build, we believe that people should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We believe that all humans have a right to privacy and a right to control their own bodies without government coercion. We believe that quality childcare, healthcare, and education should be publicly funded. Our society benefits the most when all people have the opportunity to thrive. At Chad's Design Build, we are allied with organizations that promote these values, building a better world, one remodeled home at a time. Learn more at ChadsDesignBuild.com.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bomb Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bomb Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. It's Bomb Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome to this special live coverage of the Spring General. Welcome to this special live coverage of the spring general election here on your local civic media radio station.
News director Terry Bell and a team of political experts will be checking in with reporters from around the state. You'll get results from your local races, along with insight into what's happening with one of the most important in the country, an open seat on the state Supreme Court.
This special coverage is brought to you by Bug Tussle Wireless, keeping you connected to the world around you, and Chaz Design Build in Madison. Sustainable renovation since 1992. It all starts now, live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Election Night coverage on your local Civic Media station. I'm Terry Bell. Todd Albaugh's with me, along with analysis by Maurice Shepard across the Civic Radio Network and as well as the Civic Media app. And we invite you to listen to tonight's coverage. Well, you're listening already, but if you want to switch over to another device, you can do that on the Civic Media app. We also want to remind you, polls across Wisconsin are open. Actually, they have just closed, that is. But if you are in line, you are allowed to stay in line as long as you got to your polling place by 8 o'clock.
Terry, it's going to be an exciting evening here across the state of Wisconsin. We are so fortunate to be joined by a great team led by our executive producer and director tonight, Brian Kelly, our engineer, Evan Preston, and our entire team of reporters across the state of Wisconsin. Of course, the big race tonight, it is all on the line, whichever side of the fence you're on tonight. If you are a progressive, you're a liberal, and you are caring about Wisconsin's women's reproductive rights, you went to the polls today. If you are someone who is opposed to gerrymandering, hopefully you went to the polls today. On the other side, if you are a conservative, Republican, you don't want to see all those 12 years of Scott Walker and the Republican agenda undone by a potential lawsuit with a 4-3 liberal court after tonight's election, so you went to the polls tonight. The results tonight will determine what happens over the next 10 years for the state of Wisconsin, and very likely, Terry, because it could all come down to Wisconsin once again in the 2024 election. And remember, the Wisconsin vote was saved by only one swing justice, Republican Hagedorn, who swung with the liberals and saved the election for Joe Biden. That could go the other way if Dan Kelly is elected tonight. So this the results tonight could have national implications.
Very good. Yes, Todd, absolutely. So that is the top of the ballot, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We'll be bringing you those results throughout the evening. One of the many other races we're following tonight is the special election in the 8th Senate District in southeast Wisconsin, a little bit of Milwaukee County, and some of the rest of the what's known as the WOW counties, Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha counties. And that is where Dan Knodel, a Republican state representative, is running against Jody Habish-Sinkin. She is a Democratic environmental attorney. And why this election is important in the 8th district is for one very important reason. If Knodel wins, the Republicans would have a supermajority in the state Senate. They would be able to have quite a bit of say over some appointments, even some elected officials in the state. It wouldn't create a supermajority in the legislature. Governor Evers' vetoes would seem to be safe for now. But with a supermajority in the state Senate, Republicans could definitely make their presence heard when it comes to things like office holders that may have fallen out of favor with the Republican majority. I don't know whether there's the appetite to try to impeach anybody as holding as high office as, say, Governor Evers or Attorney General Josh Call. But Maurice Shepard, might there be some appetite for going after, say, circuit judges or even Milwaukee County Prosecutor John Chisholm?
It could go to the point just in terms of maybe threats or, once again, just bringing up certain issues and maybe not going the entire way in terms of maybe impeachment or, again, stalling different types of appointments and that sort. But it does raise an interesting challenge for, again, at least the next few years or so moving forward in terms of what happens in the state capitol.
Mm-hmm. Can it be understated how important the Wisconsin Supreme Court race is?
I don't think so. I think it's important on multiple levels. I think just in terms of the policy and in terms of policy and rights, as already we've talked about, reproductive rights and election voting rights. In terms of politics in general, I think Wisconsin Democrats could send a signal to Democrats in other states that are having a tough time of it, that what if you just keep working hard, again, you can come back and win elections. And also it's important for the upcoming 2024 presidential election, as already mentioned.
There are other items on the ballot besides campaigns and elections. There are also three referendum questions on the ballot. We bring Brittany Merlot into the conversation. And Brittany, you're going to be keeping an eye on two referendum questions that have to do with bail policy in Wisconsin. And then another about public benefits and seeking work.
Absolutely. Now, questions one and two are kind of a big deal here. They are binding referenda, meaning that if they pass, the state constitution will be amended, and it's going to include the language in those questions. But if they fail with no votes, the state constitution is going to stay exactly the same. So both of those questions are going to be able to give judges more flexibility when setting bail. Question one is about whether or not a judge can consider serious harm, which is public safety, when setting those conditions of bail. Now, under the current law, judges can only consider conditions that prevent the risk of death or potentially life-threatening injury. For example, like currently right now, if there is a pedophile waiting to be considered or waiting for a trial, they can't be prevented from going to a playground as a condition of bail. Because of that condition, basically. So it isn't really necessary to prevent the risk of injury potentially resulting in death. It would just be preventing the sexual assaults, for example. So that's question number one. And question number two really deals with whether a judge can consider the totality of circumstances when setting cash bail for violent crimes, like the Waukesha parade instance. Now, currently, a Wisconsin judge is limited to a single factor called flight risk when setting their cash bail. So a yes vote to that question would allow the judge to look at additional factors past the criminal convictions, serious harm, when they're setting that bail for those violent crimes. And the third question is strictly advisory in a sense. It's really just the state legislator that has put this question out to voters to get a sense of what citizens really think about that issue. Nothing's really gonna change in our law with that.
Very well done, Brittany Merlot, talking about the referendum questions on the ballot in Wisconsin today. And Todd Albaugh, we already have a few results trickling in.
It's always interesting, the first couple of results. Remember, these are almost, you know, it's the initial results of the evening with 3,501 votes so far. This is out of Dane County primarily. Janet Protasiewicz is leading Dan Kelly 51% to 49%. Waukesha is the other county that is in with their initial results of 3,363. So very, very early. These are the first couple of things. It's going to be a long night yet. So hang in there, folks. These early results are interesting, but really don't mean a whole lot at the end of the night.
Election night coverage continues on your local Civic Media radio station.
My Shiro doesn't always wear a cape, but she always has time for a hug, a smile, for going the extra mile. My Shiro stretches every dollar, puts in long hours, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. When you're ready to retire, we want you to be able to enjoy it. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
At Chance Design Build, we believe that people should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We believe that all humans have a right to privacy and a right to control their own bodies without government coercion. We believe that quality childcare, healthcare, and education should be publicly funded. Our society benefits the most when all people have the opportunity to thrive. At Chance Design Build, we are allied with organizations that promote these values. Building a better world, one remodeled home at a time. Learn more at ChanceDesignBuild.com.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Overcast skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 48. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, highs around 67, cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 49 degrees.
Now the question is, why is the mayor of the third largest city so important? It is not about who's in that office necessarily, like for who's fixing the roads. It's about 2024. Remember, the mayor of Green Bay let us say in how many early voting sites there are in Green Bay next year. How long early voting goes on next year. You wouldn't see this kind of spending normally, but Green Bay is a key piece of the puzzle again in 2024. That's why social media is coming in for what's usually a sleeping mail race, right?
And that is J.R. Ross of WisPolitics.com talking about the importance of the Green Bay mayor's race and specifically why so much outside money is coming into that particular race. Following that and other mayoral races around Wisconsin is Terry Barr. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening, Terry and Todd. You're talking about the big money. How about $1 million spent in the race for Green Bay mayor? That is unheard of in that area, and it is being called record-breaking right now. Money, as we've seen with some other races coming from outside groups. A couple of the candidates, and I should mention who they are, we've got the incumbent, Eric Genrich. Now, he is running for a second term. He really says, I need the second term because I have the goal to continue to work to include city residents. I want to show that this is an area that is inclusive and open to all. And then we've got the challenger, Chad Wining. And he actually beat the incumbent, Eric Genrich, in the primary election. He describes himself as being close and going for this nonpartisan office, even though when you jump back to the idea of all of the money coming in for these races, $200,000 raised by the incumbent, Eric Genrich, all of that other money was, again, coming in from the outside sources. And in case some people don't know, the Green Bay mayor is supposed to be a nonpartisan race. But as we know, much of that money going to Denver came from the Democratic Party. So, yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on the Green Bay mayor race. I know Todd mentioned some of the numbers coming in already in Dane County. Not the case in the Madison mayor or the Middleton mayor races, where in Middleton, there is not an incumbent. Gerda Brar chose not to run for a third term. He basically wanted to get into the private sector again. He wants to work with kids, try and get math and reading skills up. So we've got Emily Kuhn and Kathy Olson. Both of them on the city council. Both say they have background in communications and funding and say they would make a terrific Middleton mayor as a brand new mayor. And Madison's mayor race, we've got, of course, the incumbent, Tasha Rhodes Conway. She is seeking the second term after beating the longtime mayor, when that was back in 2019. Her goals include affordable housing. And we know this is a huge, huge issue in the Madison area. A recent report indicated Madison rental rates are some of the highest in the entire country. So I understand why that could be a priority for her. It is also the fastest growing region in the state. And this does pit Sacha Rhodes Conway against Gloria Reyes, two women running for the Madison mayor post. Gloria Reyes is a former president, former deputy mayor under the last mayor, Soglin, and a former police officer. And she just dislikes this bus rapid transit idea that Sacha Rhodes Conway is really behind, and a lot of money has been put into that. Now, along with those, I'll also be tracking the Racine mayor, village president, which is also in the Brown County area, and Stevens Point mayor. So I'll bring you some of the information about them in just a little bit, Terry.
Thank you very much, Terry Barr, keeping an eye on some mayoral races around Wisconsin. There are a list of very intriguing local races happening in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, the home of Foxconn's North American operations. And Melissa Kay is keeping an eye on that and other races as well. Melissa.
Yeah, so the Foxconn race is interesting. Honestly, Terry, the more that I've been reading into this, the more this sounds like a soap opera that the writers got bored and they have just kind of gone off the rails. The four challengers to the incumbent board, that's Kelly Gallagher, Kim Mahoney, Travis Yonke, and Eric Martinez, and they're basically running on a campaign of anti-Foxconn, and not specifically anti-Foxconn, but that they need more transparency. They need to know what's going on. The village needs to know what's going on. There have been a lot of broken promises, things that Foxconn has said they were going to try and that they didn't, such as obviously the very first thing was the flat panel display production. Then they talked about moving to small, earlier generation displays. They talked about coffee robots. Maybe Google would build there. And the respirators, procedural masks. It's gone down the line. And now suddenly Microsoft is moving in to the area. And that was just announced here recently. The current board they're holding fast. They're saying, we have put all of this into motion. We're moving in the right direction. You just need to have patience. And the Kelly Gallagher and her group are functioning under the, we need more transparency. One of the things that's really interesting about this is a Taiwanese company. Foxconn is based out of Taiwan. So they have a little bit of a different mentality when it comes to business and how they share that information. They look at it as, this is proprietary information. We don't want people to know what we're working on. They have employed about 1,000 people there now. And they did get tax credits this last year. There's controversy about whether or not that's the way that it should have gone down. So it's really interesting. And then the infighting between the lawsuits that are flying back and forth and the kind of this nasty Facebook page, this has gotten really kind of ugly there.
I imagine it has. There's another race that you're keeping an eye on, this for Outagamie County Executive.
Yes. So that is the incumbent is Tom Nelson, and he has seeking a fourth term there. And the person running against him is Kevin Stern. He has served on the county board for 8 years. I believe he was done in about 2020 with that. And he's a farmer in the local area. He's made a lot of really good connections with people. He speaks to what people want to hear. And he talks a lot about the finances and needing to implement the ARPA funds and just be going beyond allocating them and actually making them work. Whereas Tom is saying, well, we're in the process of that. We're building the housing. We're working on getting this into the childcare sector. And so they're going kind of back and forth. That one's gotten a little ugly, too, where they're lobbing things at each other just to, I don't know, for sound bites or just to get people riled up.
Terrific reporting. Thank you so much, Melissa Kay. Keeping an eye on things in Mount Pleasant and in the Appleton area. Other local races are happening in Milwaukee, and Don Brown is standing by to talk about that.
Hi, Terry. Can you hear me okay?
Don, you'll have to unmute your mic, I'm afraid.
Great. There okay. you go. I can do that. Yep, I'm unmuted, right? Okay, right, great. Okay. Thanks to Anastasia. So, yes, as you may recall, there were three aldermanic seats became open in the Milwaukee City Council. 21 candidates for three roles got narrowed down. In the District 1, early results show former State Representative David Bowen leading equal rights specialist Andrea Pratt, also the daughter of Marvin Pratt, former acting mayor of Milwaukee and the longtime alderman in this district. With only 14% reporting, he's leading 51% to 49%. And then in District 5, where we have entrepreneur, small business entrepreneur, Lamont Westmoreland taking on, excuse me one second here. Yes, Annette Jackson, a longtime Milwaukee employee who's worked in three different departments. And he's already, again, with a very low percentage reporting, he's enjoying a 68% lead to a 33% lead in District 5. And then in District 9, which is very similar to Chicago's mayoral district, we have two educators competing for this seat here. Odell Ball, a longtime 26-year MPS teacher, and he's taught at Marquette for 5 years, is trailing a fellow MPS teacher, Laressa Taylor, 60 to 49%. And then we have a... the Milwaukee Municipal Judgeship Branch 2, of the 229 municipal courts in the state of Wisconsin, this is the largest. And we have a state senator, Lena Taylor, taking on Molly Gina. And this lead has changed earlier. Excuse me one second. Taylor had a commanding lead, and now Gina... legal aid attorney Molly Gina has narrowed this gap and is now leading 51% to 49%. Again, very early on in the race. One big trend I've learned from Blue Sky Waukesha is that turnout in Milwaukee, as we've heard previously, has been very high, which many of us hope will influence the Supreme Court's election. So that's what we have here in Milwaukee so far, Terry.
Very good. Thank you, Don Brown. And Todd Alba, I believe we have some returns to report on.
It is coming fast and furious, Terry, as now totally across the state of Wisconsin, we have 22% of the votes tabulated this first round here. And with 22% of the vote in, Judge Janet Protasiewicz is leading former Justice Daniel Kelly by 58.6 to 41.6%. That's 212,361 for Protasiewicz and 149,974 for Dan Kelly. Want to remind people, still fairly early with 22% of the vote in, but here's something, Terry, that we're looking at tonight. A lot of people comparing tonight's results to 2020. That is the last time that Dan Kelly ran. He had been appointed by former Governor Scott Walker. He ran. He lost fairly big to Jill Karofsky, who went on to be on the state Supreme Court. What I'm looking at tonight, and others looking at as well, I'm looking at comparing tonight's results to 2019, which is when Brian Hagedorn kind of outdid Kloppenberger. Kloppenberger was the liberal progressive candidate everybody thought would win, and it was Kelly who came in. So we'll come back. Let's look at some numbers, because very interesting early on for Dan Kelly compared to 2019 and Hagedorn.
More election night coverage right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
At Chance Design Build, we believe that people should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We believe that all humans have a right to privacy and a right to control their own bodies without government coercion. We believe that quality childcare, healthcare, and education should be publicly funded. Our society benefits the most when all people have the opportunity to thrive. At Chance Design Build, we are allied with organizations that promote these values. Building a better world, one remodeled home at a time. Learn more at ChanceDesignBuild.com.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayor. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th. Let's save Madison's finances. Elect a real progressive. Elect Gloria Reyes from Madison Mayor on April 4th. I'm proudly endorsed by the Wisconsin State Journal. I'm Gloria Reyes, and I approve this message. Say yes to Reyes on April 4th.
Paid for by friends of Gloria Reyes.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Overcast skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 48. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, highs around 67, cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 49 degrees.
You know, the enthusiasm, the really what I would call unbridled enthusiasm that I'm seeing across the state really warms my heart, how much people care about this race. So it's really been remarkable how much people care about this state and how much they want to bring a sense of normal and integrity back to their Supreme Court. It's utterly remarkable.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz talking with Civic Media about the campaign for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And already statewide, about 25% of the votes have been counted. I don't know if that says more about early voting or about technology these days, but within a few short minutes, Todd Albaugh, we have some pretty solid numbers to report.
We do, Terry, and we'd be remiss if we didn't also simply add that we are watching the weather across the state of Wisconsin tonight, as we have several watches out. There's some bigger storms predicted to come in, particularly in the southern part of the state. Looking at the radar right now, we can see there's some strong storms moving into southwest Wisconsin, headed towards our listeners at WRCE in Richland Center. Right now, some heavy storms just south of our listeners at WLAK in Amory in the Eau Claire area, and moving over to WXCO in Wausau right now. So those folks should watch out. None of those storms so far are declared severe, but the possibility does exist. So we will keep an eye on those storms as we move throughout the election coverage tonight as well. And just as I say that, Terry, we have some brand new numbers just in, as we now have 32%. 32% of the total vote in the state Supreme Court races in. Judge Janet Protasiewicz of Milwaukee leading 59.4% over former Justice Daniel Kelly, now at 40.6%. And if I might, Terry, here's the thing that I wanted to say before the break. We're looking at the 2019 results where Brian Hagedorn won for the Conservatives in 2019, comparing that to tonight's results. Let's look at Dodge County. All right, Dodge County is just to the northwest of Milwaukee County, just below Fond du Lac. 71% of the vote in Dodge County. Dan Kelly has a lead of 63% to Janet Protasiewicz, which is 37%. Back in 2019 for Hagedorn, Hagedorn won with 66% of the vote in Dodge County. So if you look at that county, just as one slice of the pie tonight, Dan Kelly, doing okay, at least in Dodge County, compared to Brian Hagedorn. Can he repeat that in other Republican or conservative leading counties tonight? He's going to have to come out very big tonight, because let's take a look at Dane County here where we're at tonight. Just waiting for it to come up on my computer. Whoops, sorry about that. Technology is wonderful. 54% now. 54% in Dane County. Janet Protasiewicz leading with 79% of the vote. Nearly 80%. If she gets 80% in Dane County tonight, and I'm just looking, we have 67% in Milwaukee County tonight. Janet Protasiewicz leading with 70% of the votes. Big key there, of course, have the absentee ballots in the city of Milwaukee been counted? We're assuming not at this point. If these numbers hold up, this race is going to be called quickly.
Either candidate needs to do well in their strongholds, Dane and Milwaukee counties for Protasiewicz, the Bow and the Wow counties for Dan Kelly. So we will keep a close eye on that. Thank you very much, Todd. One other race with statewide implications is the special election in the 8th Senate District in southeast Wisconsin, a little bit of Milwaukee County, as well as Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha counties. With 53% of the votes counted already, Jody Habish-Sinkin, 54.5% to Republican Dan Canonel's 45%. An interesting race because this has been a reliably Republican district for many years. There's been some talk that perhaps this might be an opportunity for Democrats this year. At this early stage, it seems that may be holding up. There are a lot of other local races happening. I'll have school board referendums happening in districts around Wisconsin. And this is probably a symptom of the fact that local districts and local governments really say they haven't been getting the state aid they've been needing for a very long time. And Jimmy Cuska is following those races. Jimmy, good evening.
Going on here, Terry?
There certainly are. What are the particularly interesting areas that you're looking at?
So one of the big ones that I'm looking at for tonight is in central Wisconsin. A couple of the school districts that have talked about consolidation have been places like an Adams Friendship School District. Athens is another one. There are several school districts, at least 12 by my count, that talked about cutting everything from athletics to club activities, things in the school board or in the school, middle school athletics, cutting certain extracurriculars. So the operating referenda are the ones really to pay attention to. And these usually have a pretty good success rate, over 90% in the last two elections, the two elections last year in the spring and the fall. So those ones typically have a higher success rate, but there are the other kinds of the issue debt ones for school referenda. And those are the ones for construction projects, facility projects. They typically have a higher price tag. So we're talking Some of them close to $100 million, for example, in Marshfield is the biggest one. And those ones don't have as great of a success rate, because they're more expensive and they have a greater impact on taxes, but B, depending on the level of community support, how things are tested, how the school goes about it, those things can be very, very tricky to handle. The municipal referenda that I'm tracking across the state, this is more of a trend. I'm not really focused on any one specific one, but there are 24 municipal referenda to exceed levy limits like schools do to provide things like policemen and first responders and services like that. So those are some of the other races. That's become a recent trend in the last couple of years where we have seen a number of those. And then there's a handful of village and town referenda across the state, a few dozen, that are anything from consolidating clerk and treasurer positions in townships and villages to making it so that those positions are appointed rather than elected. So it's kind of a wide range of things across the state. I'm going to focus in on a couple of the more interesting races, especially some of those big ticket ones as we go throughout the night, Terry.
And forgive me if you mentioned this before, but I understand there are a couple of school districts in Wisconsin who may be a year away from dissolving if they don't get the votes they need.
So consolidation is on the table in at least two districts, in Adams Friendship and Athens. And this is a multi-year process. Now, if you remember a few years ago, Palmyra went through this with their school district. They actually voted in the first round to consolidate. It has to happen in two consecutive years for that to happen. It's a 3 to 5 year process, and what it all entails, and not to go way into the weeds with it, but it involves the neighboring school districts absorbing certain areas into their districts. The tax impact does not go away for the school district that is in effect wiped off the map and absorbed by neighboring districts, because now you have to pay for extra things like transportation and going to those other schools depending on what they are. So I know some people might think like, oh, well, if the school district goes away, my property taxes go down. Well, that's wrong, because you still got to pay for public schools in the state. That's part of state statute, and that's the way it is. So but there are at least two that I've found so far, and there are at least 13 districts I have found that mention if their operating referenda fails tonight that they could cut everything up to high school athletics, but a lot of them talking about getting rid of those after school or extracurricular activities, music programs that aren't required by state statute, things like that. So there's a lot on the table for many communities around the state tonight in some of these school referenda.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Cuska. Todd Albaugh has some breaking news.
Just another quick update here. We're getting very close to this thing being almost halfway over in terms of percentage of the vote in. Now 42% of the total state vote in for the judicial race for Supreme Court. Janet Protasiewicz now with 48.3%. Daniel Kelly with 41.7%. Let's take a look at Eau Claire County quick, Terry. 89% of the vote in Eau Claire. Judge Janet with 63%. Dan Kelly with 37%. In 2019, Hagedorn hit 42% there. Tonight, Dan Kelly only getting 37%. Of course, home of your alma mater of UW Eau Claire. No, you didn't go to Eau Claire.
Actually, right? I'm a lacrosse Eagle.
Jeez, I'm sorry. WIS, same conference as me in Platteville. But
Morning Sun greets many batters on its western way, but fair to be above all others. Waves maroon and gray.
Thank you for correcting me. But Eau Claire, UW Eau Claire is there. And, Dan Kelly is just not living up to the Hagedorn numbers of 2019 there. We're the quick county, Wood County, where Stevens Point is at. And 85% of the vote in there. Dan Kelly with 56% compared to Protasiewicz, which is, 44. So Kelly doing okay in Wood County. But again, overall right now with 42% of the vote in, it is Protasiewicz, which 58.3%. Well, it just updated. We're now at 46% of the total vote. 46% of the total vote. Protasiewicz now with 57.8%. Dan Kelly with 42.2%.
Thank you, Todd. Chad Holmes is standing by. We are talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race quite a bit tonight, and rightly so, but there are a number of other judicial races happening all over Wisconsin. Our Chad Holmes in Wausau is keeping an eye on those, and we are efforting Chad's participation as presently as possible.
I am here, Terry. Hey, you can
Chad.
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, they won't allow me to turn on my video, so whoever's in charge of that can fix that up. I can put my video on as well.
But it is good to hear.
Yes,
you.
I'm keeping an eye on an interesting race. You talk a lot about the state Supreme Court, but the state appeals court. And an interesting number is that 90% of the state appeals go through the appeals court. only 10% actually make it to the state Supreme Court. And there's an interesting race in District 1 between the incumbent, Bill Brash. He was a Scott Walker appointee back in 2015. And going up against a young lawyer, Sarah Geenan. And I say that because most of the judges, the 16 judges in the Wisconsin appeals system, are either in their 60s or their 70s. And Bill Brash is 71 years old. He is the incumbent. His challenger, Sarah Geenan, is only 41. And it's also interesting in the fact that Brash has a campaign that is full of Republican operatives. And he's almost been, I think, a little bit too cute in trying to hide the fact that he's trying to ally along with the conservatives going to the polls. And it's not working. In fact, 56% of the precincts are reporting, and the challenger, Sarah Geenan, has 66% of the vote. Bill Brash has 34%, 74,000 to 37,000 in terms of votes. But if you look at the Brash campaign, his finance chair is the was the finance director for the state Republican Party for 4 years, and also 4 years as a fundraiser for Scott Walker's campaign manager. Lily Schrenk served as the youth outreach and events director for Republican Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign. While the opponent, Sarah Geenan, has got lots of endorsements from those on the left. But also interesting, Brash got a couple of interesting endorsements, such as former Democratic Senator Herb Kohl.
Very interesting, Chad Holmes. No, we can. These are floating breaks, so we can be flexible. Oh, okay. Evan, if you don't mind bringing the music down, Chad has more to say.
I'm sorry, but I was going to say that Brash got the endorsement of former Senator Herb Kohl and also former liberal Judge Louis Butler. But at the same time, his finance chair put out an email recently that they've been trying to walk back, talking about Brash being a conservative who will follow the law, and also by creating a strong grassroots campaign, they will not only reelect Bill Brash, but also turn out the conservative vote, thereby keeping the Supreme Court in conservative hands. They've been backing away from it, but it feels as though the voters are not buying it. And Sarah Geenan, again, a 41-year-old young lawyer, trying, I think, to turn this court on its head, be the by far the youngest member in terms of the appeals courts in Wisconsin.
Very good. Chad Holmes reporting in Wausau. Quickly, an update about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Janet Protasiewicz building on her lead over Dan Kelly. Todd Albaugh.
Indeed, it is now 50%. Half the vote of the ballots have been counted so far. Janet Protasiewicz leading now 57.2% to Dan Kelly's 42.8%. These are unofficial callings, if you will, that. But Dave Wasserman, who is the U.S. editor or U.S. House editor for the nonpartisan Cook Report in Washington, D.C., very experienced in politics, he is now calling the race for Judge Janet. Want to remind you, that's not an AP call, but here's a guy who's seen a lot of races, and mm-hmm. He said he's seen enough tonight. We'll see. What's prompting this, Terry, is the lack of voting, or I should say the underperformance for Daniel Kelly tonight, particularly in the WOW counties, as you alluded to earlier, down in the suburbs of Milwaukee. Let's take a look at Waukesha, the big one, shall we? 88% in Waukesha County right now. Dan Kelly has 58%. In 2019, Brian Hagedorn got 69%. So just one indicator there that Dan Kelly is underperforming tonight, and with 50% of the vote in right now, it is Janet Protasiewicz with 57.2% overall, Dan Kelly 42.8%. It's the daylight is going to run out very quickly on this election tonight for Dan Kelly if he can't find some votes somewhere.
We have much more to pass along on this broadcast of election night coverage on the Civic Media Network of radio stations. We will be right back after this.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons, 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Cloudy skies expected tonight, with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 49. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs around 67. Cloudy skies. Lows level off around 28 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The people of Wisconsin, when they constructed our Constitution and as they've maintained it, they've looked at us on the court and they said, look, we've got one job for you, just one. Please don't screw it up. It's just one thing. Use the laws that already exist to decide our cases. We're not interested in whether you think it's a good law or a bad law or effective or not. We'll have that conversation with the legislature.
Former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly speaking to Wisconsin Public Television about his position running for running to get back on the court. Right now, though, he is trailing in that race. Just really quickly now, with 56% of the votes counted, Protasiewicz with about 58% of the vote, and Kelly with about 42% of the vote. We bring in Madison College political scientist Maurice Shepard now, and what do you read in the events in the early going so far, Maurice?
Hi, Terry. A couple of things. One, that a lot of money has been spent during this election cycle, and at least in terms of the state Supreme Court race, yes, the money matters, but what also matters is when the money comes in. Early money is better than later money. Early money is able to establish once again a strong base of support. It allows the candidate to develop a media strategy earlier, to purchase media time at a cheaper cost if they can get in there earlier. And also, and I think this is what Protasiewicz did very well, was she was able to, in her campaign, to define Kelly and establish, again, sort of the campaign sort of atmosphere early on. So I think the results that we're looking at tonight, if they continue, I don't think that they are, they should be surprising. Again, not the total, while the total amount matters, early money is better than later money. And for the Kelly campaign, they waited a long time, or the money just sort of dribbled in late. It didn't come in early. And I think that really hurt with the Protasiewicz group. They were able to hit the airwaves hard and fast with a very aggressive campaign. And that's paying off. And even when you look at the map, and we've been talking about the map as it fills in tonight, quite frankly, I I'm switching back and forth between, you know, tonight's election map and the election map from 2020 with Jill Karaskowski versus Dan Kelly, and it's filling in very similar. Again, a difference is that, once again, that the 2020 election was during, once again, a presidential primary and that sort, but the numbers and the counties and everything, it's filling in they're almost mirroring each other right now.
So it seems to be an evening that's trending Protasiewicz's way. Does Dan Kelly have any path to victory at this point?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Because I'll just use Madison and Milwaukee, right? Those are the ones that usually come up. She has far and above overperformed there. Again, with, particularly in terms of Madison getting more than 80% of the vote. And as you mentioned earlier, in the WOW counties, Kelly is just, those are the counties that Kelly needed to overperform, but he's not. He's winning those counties, but he's not winning them at such a large margin that it can make up again for the slimmer margins that he's winning by maybe in other parts of the state. So I think the avenues to victory for Kelly are becoming narrower as we move throughout the evening.
Certainly. Yeah. Some people may be wondering if this were a different race, perhaps if Jennifer Durrow had emerged from the primary instead of Dan Kelly. Do you think we'd see something similar or something not, or is it impossible to say?
Well, you can never be certain, but this is probably the best that between Kelly and Darrow. Kelly probably, this is just my take on it, probably had the best chance between the two. He has at least, once again, name recognition. He served on the court. With Darrow, I think she was, once again, late coming to into the election, into the primary, the primary election. So I think it may have been, Kelly gives them their best shot. I think what this highlights, and I think someone referenced this earlier, that at least for the conservatives in Wisconsin, they need to look at the judicial bench that they have, right? Just like a minor league baseball team, right? You've got to bring prospects in. You've got to develop talent. You got to identify that talent early and get it working. And I think for the Republicans, at least when it comes to their judicial bench, conservatives and their judicial bench, they need to take a look at that. They need to probably restock, quite frankly, at this point. They're rerunning candidates now. That's what Kelly is. He's a repeat. You need fresh voices and a fresh candidate in there.
I'm curious to know, let's say, assuming Protasiewicz holds on to her lead and wins, we have a number of these cases that we've been hearing about concerning abortion, concerning maps, electoral maps, concerning voter rules. A lot of those cards are held by Democrats. Are they going to be, does that affect the timing of the bringing of these cases, or does it not? And will they be in a hurry if they do have control of that?
Well, if Protasiewicz is successful this evening and wins the election, what it will do is, again, as you mentioned, change the majority on the court. I would say it would reset the court from, a conservative majority to a liberal majority. And I think the issues related to reproductive rights and also voting and election rights, there are cases already in the pipeline. They will make their way to the state Supreme Court. So those, once again, I think those will come up fairly quickly. The other thing I think, though, that is important, sort of related to other things on the ballot tonight, the two binding constitutional amendments.
Yes.
On the ballot tonight. I find it's interesting, and this is just my take on it. It seems that for Republicans in the state legislature, they're using the constitutional amendment process, which doesn't include the governor, as maybe a path to legislate, you know, because the two constitutional amendments that are on the ballot tonight, they're part of, in a general way, part of what's called sort of Marcy's Law, a move to, again, increase cash bails, but also to give, quote unquote, victims more rights. In other states, they've adopted some of these measures, but they didn't require a constitutional amendment. This may be, as I'm thinking about this, you know, is this a path that Republicans in the state legislature are taking? Because as long as they hold the majority in the legislature, they can continue to put out constitutional amendments and bypass, once again, a Democratic governor. So I think that's a serious issue to think about as we move forward.
Excellent observation. Great point, too. Very interesting. We have some breaking news to report. Here's Tal Alba.
Yes, as a matter of fact, the Associated Press and the New York Times, as well as our own civic media team, have called the race for Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a 20-year veteran on the bench, a judge from Milwaukee County. Judge Janet Protasiewicz will be the new Supreme Court justice on the state Supreme Court. She has defeated former Justice Daniel Kelly tonight, the conservative, right now with 64% of the votes in. It is Janet Protasiewicz with 57% even to Daniel Kelly's 43%. 43% even. Again, that is with about 64% of the vote in. The Associated Press, the New York Times, and again, our own fine decision desk here at Civic Media News has called the race. So they've just updated the numbers now slightly with 64% of the race in. Janet Protasiewicz, 57. Dan Kelly, 43. And the Supreme Court has flipped. The liberals will now take over, and a lot of things in the state of Wisconsin could come to pass here in the next few months or the next couple of years with a brand new liberal progressive majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Very good. Thank you, Todd Albaugh. We'll be following that race. Actually, it's called, so not much left to follow. We're following several other races. There is one other with statewide implications. The special election in the 8th Senate District, just north of Milwaukee. Jody Havish-Simkin leading Dan Knodel 51% to about 49%. This is a traditional Republican district, which for the moment appears to be on the verge of flipping, but we don't really know a lot of ballots to be counted yet. We'll be keeping an eye on that race and several others as the evening progresses here on Civic Media. This is Election Night coverage on your local Civic Media radio station.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.